سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارضع عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفزل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa. Is it working? We are coming very close to the month of Ramadan. And the ayat which I recited to you, it is an ayat which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings between the ayats of fasting in the month of Ramadan. I discussed this, I think, some time back, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, why does He bring this ayat between the ayats of Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan, and suddenly Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and don't eat up your wealth amongst yourselves bil batil, in a batil way. The meaning of that ayat, the gist of that ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that you should not eat up each other's wealth in a batil way. But Allah Ta'ala mentioned the word amwalakum, your wealth. There is great detail as to why He has mentioned amwalakum, but in any case, Allah Ta'ala says that your wealth of each other, you should not eat it up in a batil way. And also we know that in the courts of law, there's a lot of bribery, a lot of corruption that takes place. So here we are warned that we should not take these matters to court with the intent that we want to eat up somebody else's property, somebody else's wealth, knowing fully well that we are on batil, it doesn't belong to us, but by means of some bribe, or because you are living in a country where corruption is so rife, so therefore you will be able to get the wealth of somebody else and become the owner and possessor of that. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala warns against this. Allah Ta'ala says that don't do this. But now He brings this ayat in between the ayats of fasting in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala talks about the purpose of making fasting compulsory and obligatory upon the Ummat of Nabi Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that purpose is something that we all know very well, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we may get this taqwa. Then Allah Ta'ala goes on describing some details about fasting, but that's not my subject. I just want to mention this. And thereafter suddenly brings this ayat in between. So the Arifin have said, and also the Mufassirin, they have said that it is so important, that your earnings must be halal. The food that goes into your system must be halal. If not, then no matter how much of rozas you keep, it is not going to be acceptable. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to accept those rozas, because your body is being nourished with haram. Now you're nourishing your body with haram and you want to attain taqwa. The purpose of fasting is to attain taqwa. Now how will you attain taqwa if you are nourishing your body with haram? As I mentioned that this I did discuss in some Jummah talk, but the people that come for Jummah don't come for the majlis, and those that come for majlis are not here Jummah time because they are in different areas. So let us just revise this, or some of it, whatever comes to my mind. That we must understand that we want taqwa in the month of Ramadan by fasting. Now here, if we are going to nourish our bodies with haram, then how are we going to attain taqwa? Because taqwa is the giving up of everything that is haram. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not going to accept those fasts. That ibadat Allah ta'ala is not going to accept in the month of Ramadan, which we make after gaining the health with haram food that enters our body. Now here Allah ta'ala uses the word batil. It does not mean only food that goes into the body. The wealth of any person, the wealth of somebody else, to attain it by any means that is not Islamically permissible, all falls under the category of batil. So if a person had to lend somebody some money and take interest on that money, that will also fall under batil. Now the person gained interest, and with that interest now he is purchasing his clothes, his food, his drinks, his home, and then he's keeping fast in the month of Ramadan and making plenty of ibadat, zikr and tilawat. But at the end of the day, he is not seeing the fruits of all that because of that haram, because of that batil. So whether it comes in the form of interest into his life, or whether it comes in the form of stealing from somebody, or whether it comes in the form of gambling, that the person went and gambled and he earned a lot of money. Now with that money, he is building up his body, is making zikr, tilawat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not accept that, it will be rejected. So this is like a warning that is given to us. Imagine Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the rasuls, ya ayyuhar rusul, O my messengers. Now imagine the messengers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I mean they were completely divorced, or they were completely isolated or separated from anything that was even doubtful. There was no question of any doubt on anything that they earned. But still Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addresses the messengers about eating only from that which is pure, which is tayyib. In one ayat Allah ta'ala addresses them, قُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And in this ayat that I am talking about, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhar rasul, kulu minat tawayyibat, wa'amalu saliha. O my messengers, eat of that which is tawayyib. Allah Ta'ala is not saying eat of the halal things. Look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and Allah Ta'ala's kindness. He knows human nature. Allah Ta'ala knows human nature. He is the creator of man. He knows that man would like to eat good food, not just halal, because halal, there are lots of things that are halal, but if we were told to just eat halal only, don't worry about cooking it, making it delicious, tasty, then it would have been difficult. It is the desire of everybody that he wants to eat food which is delicious. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is addressing his messengers, his rasuls, and saying kulu minat tawayyibat, not just kulu min al halal. The Mufassirin have explained that here it means that eat enjoyable, delicious food. Therefore, some majzoobs who added water into the gravy, plentiful of water, and then they just dipped the bread in there and ate the bread and drank the gravy like soup. And they said, we want to have nothing to do with this world. So the other arifin have said that they were majzoobs. It was a hal, it was a condition of this. But if you are going to do that, then the shukr of Allah Ta'ala will not come out from the depth of your heart. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi said, oh Ashraf Ali, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi addressed him, and he said that when you drink water, drink cold water, so that every vein of your body, shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala comes from there. Of course, it doesn't mean that if somebody, cold water affects him and it causes harm to his health, then you must drink ice cold water. I'm not saying that. But if a person is drinking warm water, then that shukr won't come out, which will come out when the person is thirsty and is drinking cold water. So here again, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the messengers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders them that they must eat of the tayyib things, min at-tayyibat. But then immediately after that, and we must remember that these things are for us, because there was no question of any Nabi eating anything that was haram or doing any amal that was disliked by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no question of them indulging in any action or any deed that was displeasing to Allah. How could they ever do anything like that? So we must take a lesson from these ayat. It is addressed to us via the Rasuls. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. The condition is that do righteous deeds. Practice righteousness. That means this food which I am providing you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, let it be halal. And not only halal, let it be tayyib. Make it enjoyable, delicious, eat good food, nobody stops you. But the only condition is after that, the strength that comes into your body. Then do righteousness, practice righteousness, do righteous deeds. Make amal salih, because everything depends on this amal salih, iman and amal salih. And amal salih covers everything, not just namaz, roza, zakat. Every aspect of a person's life, if he does it in accordance with Allah and his Rasul Pak Sallallahu hukam, then it becomes amal salih. So the Rasuls are ordered that after eating the food, now do amal salih. Now the lesson that we must take from that is this, that after we are going to eat that food, then strength will come into our body. So after the strength comes into the body, what does amal salih now mean? Because that food which went into our system, after digestion or digestion, then it turned to blood, and the nourishment was provided for all the different parts of the body. Nourishment was provided for even the hair on our head. If nourishment was not provided for the hair on the head, then the hair would die and fall off. There would have been no hair left on anybody's scalp. Each and every one of us would have been bald. So it shows that nourishment is also reaching the hair. Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and fazal. And we don't even know what is happening. We just gobbled up a few morsels of food, and now everything is happening with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The whole system is working for the benefit of man. So now, is it not right that this person who is benefiting from every part of the body, he is benefiting from his heart, he is benefiting from his lungs, from his liver, from the kidneys and from the intestines and from everything, every vein, every part of the body. Now, if he disobeys Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then definitely we are namak haram. That everything of that has in our system is working with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Which person has an x-ray in front of him and then he follows what is happening now to the food, going down the gullet and going down into the stomach? Which person can really follow its cause? But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got a system, and now with that, every part of the body is being nourished. The eye is receiving its sustenance. The ear is receiving its sustenance. The hands are receiving its sustenance. The feet, every part of the body is receiving its sustenance and nourishment. Now that our body has been nourished by this food, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Now don't let those eyes see that which is haram. It is not right and befitting a mu'min and a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that those parts of his body which have been nourished by that food which Allah ta'ala himself provided, and every part of the body went into action when it went into his body. Now it is not right of him to use those eyes to go and watch filthy programs. It is not right of him to use that eye now to cast lustful glances or haram glances. It is not right of him now to use those eyes to read filthy novels. It is not right of him now to use those eyes on anything that Allah and his Rasul have declared as haram. It is not right of this person that that body which has been nourished now, or that nourishment that reached the ears, it is not right of him now to use that ears of his to listen to music, to listen to anything that is haram, ghibat, and anything else that Allah and his Rasul have declared as haram. It's not that the Ahlullah and the Awliya, they have dead hearts, they have no desires, they don't enjoy all these things. Their concern is that my Allah must not be displeased. If Allah Ta'ala says, and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that this is haram, then they will take the pain on their heart, but they will not indulge in that haram. So music is something that is soothing to the ears, as people say, or pleasing to the ears. No doubt it may be pleasing to the ears, but that music which Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have declared as haram, then no matter how pleasing to the ears, but they will do exactly what some sahabas did, that they plug their ears with their fingers not to listen to it, or they will put their mind completely off, they will not concentrate on it. If a person has got the power of concentration and he has worked on it and made an effort, then there can be loud blaring music next door, but he can turn his attention away from it and occupy his mind in something else. There are so many incidents of this nature. And we know ourselves that sometimes when we are engrossed in some work, then no matter how loud the music was playing, take those students who were writing the metric examinations and they were genuine students, or those who were writing the Darul Uloom examinations and they were genuine students, when they were learning for the examinations, at that time who is talking in the room and what noise somebody is making outside or what music is playing outside or next door, nothing affects that person because his concentration is not on that what is taking place. So this is what this person will do. He'll say, my ears, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided the nourishment, and I cannot use it now for the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. In the same way, his hands, his feet, his tongue, he will not use any of these things for the disobedience of Allah ta'ala, because that food that went into his system, it is that food and drink which has nourished and provided energy for all these things. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And immediately after that, what does Allah Ta'ala says? Inni bima ta'maluna alim. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are doing, whatever your amal, we are knowing. We know exactly what you are doing. You cannot hide from us your action. These eyes, what they are seeing, these ears, what they are listening to, these tongues, what they are speaking, these hands, what they are touching, these lips, and the feet, and everything what you are doing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of it. So don't ever believe that Allah ta'ala is not aware of it and he is not going to question me, so I will get away, because the police does not catch everybody. It is Allah ta'ala's compassion, mercy, forgiveness and tolerance that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a person a chance, a time, that perhaps he may repent, make tawbah and return. So here what I was discussing is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also brings this ayat about halal between the ayats of Ramadan and fast, to give us the lesson that it is extremely important that a person's earnings should be halal. The food that goes into his system should be halal. One Buzrug in his poetry, he has written, the gist of which is that even if seeds which were earned through haram, wheat or barley seeds were earned through haram, and they were given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to plant in a land very close to the Kaaba Sharif, piece of ground close to the Kaaba Sharif or haram, or in the haram Sharif. He had to take those seeds which were of haram earnings, give it to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to plant it there, and thereafter get an ox from the heavens to plow that land and get the water of Jannat to water that crop. And when that crop grows, then give it to Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam to knead the dough, to knead the dough and make the bread. And while she is making the bread and kneading the dough, then at that time she too is reading thousands of times Durud Sharif and La ilaha illallah and Subhanallah. And the water which was used for the gravy of that curry was Zamzam. And after that, when this person sat down to eat, he too was reading one way Subhanallah, Durud Sharif. 1,000 Qul Huwallah Khatam was made and blown on that food. 1,000 or hundreds of thousands of Durud Sharif was read and blown on that food. And then the food was dished out by the greatest Waliullah of the time. If you have to eat that food, then that too will create in yourself evil desires. It will create evil desires because the origin of that was haram. The origin was haram. So no matter whatever happened after that, all these great, great people read so many thousand times Qul Huwallah and Durud Sharif and cooked it up in Zamzam. But still after the eating of that food, the person's desires will be always going towards haram. Wants to commit adultery, wants to commit fornication, wants to steal, wants to cast lustful glances, wants to watch haram, wants to speak haram, wants to listen to haram. All the desires that will cook up inside his system will be haram, because the food that went and nourished all those parts of the body was from haram. So how important, he says, it is that you must ensure that the beginning is halal. From the beginning to the end, it is halal. Little children who have been nourished by their parents on haram, then they are excused. When they will become of age, after that they will be questioned, but they are excused. As long as they started earning, when they started earning halal, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them from then, inshallah. But those parents must have mercy on these children, and they must have mercy on their wives, and they must have mercy on their daughters, and have mercy on those old people sometimes that they are providing food for. That if you are going to provide from haram sources, then not only will you be causing harm and damage to your own selves and your own iman, but so many other people's iman and life will be affected. Then we say that what is the cause of it? What is the cause of it? Children are disobedient. They don't want to listen. This is not coming right. That is not coming right. I just don't enjoy my namaz anymore. I don't enjoy my tilawat. I don't enjoy sitting and making zikr. I don't enjoy any kind of ibadat. The moment I come to the masjid also, it is just a question of fulfilling some farz obligation and then dashing back to the television screen again. What is the cause of it? So there are many causes. You will say that sometimes we are mentioning some other cause, sometimes this cause. So brothers, we all know that if a person goes to the doctor and he complains of a terrible headache, then sometimes the doctor says that it is due to a tumor in your brain. And sometimes he says that it is due to constipation. The person is constipated, and because of constipation also you can get severe headaches. And sometimes he could say that you were sitting in the sun for a very long time watching the football and cricket, and your head got heated up in the sun, so that is the cause of your headache. So there are different causes. So in the same way here also, there are different causes, but this is also a major cause which Allah and His Rasul have shown to us in the Hikayat of Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's incident. Everybody knows that just doubtful food, but he kept on drinking water upon water until he spewed it out. His life nearly go in the process. Nabi Pak Sarasam, just one date seed, one date. At night it was lying down, he took it and ate it. And it was in his own home. But then whole night he is restless, thinking that perhaps it was sadqah of sadqah. Whole night he was restless. And yet it was his own. There are so many incidents of this nature. So halal is so important, and especially now that we are coming close to Ramadan, we should make an effort that we should go for nothing but halal. But I mentioned in one of my talks that our condition is this, that if I have to find a 5 rand piece here just now, then I will straight away look for the muazzin and for some mufti sahab to quickly write on the board that money found, whoever it belongs to, please claim. Why? Because it's 5 rand. And I might even make a loud announcement also in the masjid that I am the person that found the money. But I was so honest that I gave it to the muazzin to look for the right person to whom it belongs. One person found a watch belonging to a child. Those 10-12 rand watches, an ordinary plastic watch. He found that watch. So he brought it to me and said that, Maulana, I found this watch. It was in the wuzukhana. Please, if you can find the owner of it, or who must I give it to? So I was very happy and to learn of his honesty. But then, one of his family members came and said that the will was not Islamically made. And this brother of mine has taken everything, because he was with my father in the business, and he transferred the license also onto his name, and he gave me a whole story. This happened in another town when I was teaching there. So now you can understand from there that because that watch was only 5-10 rand worth, so I'm looking for the owner. And here I am digesting hundreds of thousands or thousands of rands, and there it doesn't concern me. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, bil batil, that whichever way it comes, that if it did not rightfully belong to me, then I must look for the person to whom it belongs if I am making sincere tawbah. This is where our problem lies. I am repeatedly saying that these majlises are not just for an increase in our knowledge. It is to make sincere tawbah from all sins that we are indulging in. And this is one of our major sins, that we are unconcerned about what we are earning, whether it is halal or haram, as long as it comes. Sab kuch andar hai mast qalandar. Halal, haram, sab kuch andar. Lekin phir bhi hai mast qalandar. Now if we are going to have haram, halal, everything inside, how do we expect our akhlaq to come right, our muamalat to come right, our muasharat to come right? Because the person after eating that haram is going to get nothing but evil desires all the time. Evil desires will even come into the hearts of the good and the pious and the righteous, who are earning nothing but halal. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them the tawfiq to restrain themselves, and on that restraining from haram, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevates their stages. And so we should not become confused that sometimes people are earning halal, they are righteous, they are making everything that Allah Ta'ala wants them to do, they are doing everything, and still the thoughts are coming. So they must not get worried and frightened. Those are whisperings of shaitan. But then, because the food is halal, so they will have the tawfiq of restraining themselves. And those people who will be nourishing their bodies with haram, very quickly they will fall for all these temptations. Very quickly nafs and shaitan will take them towards haram. And this is what you will find in their lives. But our problem is that the type of earnings at present, we are totally unconcerned from where it's coming, how it's coming. I mentioned once that even people like us, if we have to deposit the money in the bank for safekeeping, and if by the way somewhere they credited some interest, then we don't even check it up properly that there was some interest that was credited, and therefore it must be taken out and given to the poor and needy without the niyat of sawab. Now that person uses that interest also. So if a person knows that poison is poison, then too he dies. And if he was not aware that it was poison and he has to drink it, then too he dies. The only difference is this, that the person who knew that it was poison, he will be charged for committing suicide. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will charge him for that offense. And the other person will be excused. But the harm the person has to face. In the same way, this person who is going to eat this haram and he's going to go into his system, then it will create those problems that it creates in the hearts of those who are doing it purposely. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that the best earning is the earning of the traders. The best earning is the earning of those traders who they are earning halal and they've got some sifat, some qualities in them. And what are those sifats and qualities? The sifat is this, that when they speak, they do not speak a lie. The merchandise that they are selling, they don't speak any lies. If they make a promise, then they don't break that promise. And if they are entrusted, they do not betray the trust. These very three things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned as the sifat of the munafiqeen. So that these are the sifats and qualities of the munafiqeen. Iza haddasa kazaba wa iza wa'ada akhlaf wa iza u'tumina khan. That is the sign of a hypocrite, of a munafiq. That when he speaks lies. When he makes promise, he breaks promises. And when he's entrusted, then he betrays the trust. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the best earning is the earning of the traders. But they don't speak lies, they don't break promises. And when they are entrusted, they don't betray the trust. Because the customer is placing his trust in the dealer. He's got a trust. We must not think that this trust only means that if the person brought 100,000 or 10,000 and gave it for safekeeping. The person is placing his trust that this person that I am purchasing from, he is a trustworthy person. Therefore, I am purchasing from him and he is not going to mislead me. He is not going to speak lies with regards to that article. He is not going to cause me any harm in this deal. So now if this person betrays that trust which this person has placed in him, then he does not have that quality that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about. So he does not fall in that category that of the best traders, regarding whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that on the day of Qiyamah, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin, the person who is a very honest trader, then he will be with me on the day of judgment or in Jannat, like this. And he pointed his two fingers. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that is his third sifat, that when he is entrusted, he does not betray the trust. Then the fourth sifat of this trader is, because we are discussing what is this batil, that in which ways it can come. So it can come by the person speaking lies and selling his article, or the person breaking his promises, the person is betraying the trust. Many ways it can become tainted. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when he is buying from someone, when he is making the purchase, then he does not begin condemning that article. He knows he wants it and he knows the right price of it too, but he goes on condemning and rejecting that article. That these things we can get very cheap, it's useless, and nowadays the whole fashion has changed, and all kinds of lies he speaks to make that person sell it at a cheap price. So when he is buying, then at that time he speaks a lot of lies about that article, and knowing that it's good, in good condition, but for nothing he begins to find faults so that the seller may reduce the price totally. And when he is selling, then he speaks a lot of lies about that article again to inflate the price. He wants to sell that article. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith. He wants to sell that article. So now he will praise it to such an extent that the person really gets convinced that this is in excellent condition. And afterwards when he goes from there with that article, he realizes that it was a fraudulent deal. It is just like that auctioneer that you have heard of, that a person, he knew that that horse of his was absolutely useless. it threw the rider off. It never allowed the rider to have a decent ride. So he got fed up and sick and tired, and he said, let me go and have this horse auctioned. But when he gave it to the auctioneer, and the auctioneer began to say that this is like the Rolls Royce of the horses. It gives you the most beautiful ride, and it's fleeting, and it's this and it's that. So this person who knew all the faults of the horse, but when he heard the auctioneer, then he thought that if this horse is in such grand condition, then why should I sell it? So he took it back home. So when the person wants to sell, then at that time he begins to praise it to such a level that the customer gets convinced. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these type of people are not amongst the best of traders. Their earnings are not what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about, that if they earn in this manner, they're not going to be with him on Qiyamah day like that. Many other things Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. So what I am getting across to you is that the month of Ramadan is coming, and this is the last majlis before the month of Ramadan. So what is extremely important now is that we should x-ray our earnings, see from where our earnings came, and if there is any haram, and we are aware of it also, that it has come in a haram way. One is that we are not aware of it, we don't even know how it came. Our great-grandfather earned it and came down via inheritance to us, and we are not aware of it. So we are not obliged to start now digging right from now up till Dada Adam's time where it came from. But if the person knows exactly that it is haram, he knows that this, out of this 100,000 of mine, 20,000 came through the casino, 5,000 came through interest, 10,000 came through somebody's inheritance that didn't belong to me. In this way, a person knows from where his monies came. So if he is aware of it, then take the courage and the strength. Believe me that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He will change your condition. When a person makes up his mind and his niyat that I want to get rid of haram from my system and from my life, Allah ta'ala, who is providing for the fish in the ocean, billions of fish, who is providing for them? The millions of animals in the jungles, the billions of ants, so much so that the billions of mosquitoes also. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we don't know from where He is nourishing them. Recently it was in the papers that the mosquitoes from, which are malaria mosquitoes, they have traveled all the way from Mozambique and they are somewhere here in Tonga already. Now we don't know whose blood will be in their taqdeer. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is providing for so many creatures, animals, fish, all the human being that came from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, it is no one but Allah ta'ala that is providing. If we are going to be hasty and go towards haram, then Allah ta'ala will give us that which is haram. But then we will be punished for that haram, and it is going to destroy the nur of our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, and there will be a darkness that will engulf the heart. The person will not have any kind of nur in the heart. Hazrat Maulana Yaqub sahab rahmatullah alayhi says that one day accidentally he ate at somebody's place, and it was a doubtful morsel, not even haram. He says, but kai din tak, for quite a number of days, he says, bure bure taqaze dil ke andar paida hote rahe, bad bad thoughts, just accidental. There's so many walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that their stomach would not accept anything that was haram. The moment it went in there, they spewed it out. So if a person makes up his mind that I want to purify my life, I want to cleanse myself, I want my heart to be receiving that nur of marifat and of yaqeen and of the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah ta'ala does not come into those hearts which have been nourished. Allah ta'ala does not come into those hearts which are pumping that blood which is haram. Allah ta'ala comes into a heart which is pure of anything that is haram. So we have to clean our system out. We are very quick to read some tasbih. If somebody says that read this tasbih 100 times and your sustenance will multiply, then, or read it 10,000 times and your sustenance will multiply, then we will quickly read it. But when it comes to taking the pain on our hearts of giving up that which is haram or removing from our lives, even if it means that we have to finally live in a hut, that believe me, that hut will be only for a few days, and see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then increases that person's sustenance. He will provide for him from sources unknown to him, and he will give so much of barakat in that little that he was not able to get his desires fulfilled with that plentiful. Now Allah ta'ala will fulfill it in that little, because it will be with barakat. But then sometimes it is this flushing process. There are many people who decided now that we want to change, and when they made up their mind that we want to go halal, then some tests came upon them. At one time they were living a very good life, and now suddenly the business began to drop. Suddenly some other test came upon them, so they give it up. Whereas that is that flushing process. If a person wants to detoxify his body and he goes to a hakim, the first thing that he gives him is laxative. So here also, that filth that has entered our system, that filth that has come into our lives, when that is going to go first, then after that the halal will come. It has to go out first. So at that time we must not become concerned. We must be prepared for the consequences, but have hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is very kind, very merciful, and He is Razzaq, and He will not make a person suffer. The person who is desiring to please Allah and he is taking some pain on his heart, barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge mere dile na shaad ko wo shaad karenge. If I have cracked and smashed to smithereens my heart, that means the evil desires which came. Now in this way, when that person is going to part with 100,000, or with that one property, or with the two properties, or when the person now he's made tawbah and he's going to return that interest monies that he received over the years, then it's going to be a pain on the heart, because a person sometimes is prepared to give his life, but he's not prepared to give his wealth. There are many people, they are prepared to let their life go, but not prepared to let their wealth go. Haven't we heard that if a person is sometimes held up and he says, give me the key to your safe, otherwise I will shoot you. And this person hasn't even got a gun, he hasn't got anything, but he will still dilly-dally somehow with a safe key, in the meantime endangering his life, because to him that wealth is far more precious than his life. It proves that sometimes a person is prepared to let go his life for the sake of his wealth. So therefore here, when this person is going to part with his wealth, he's going to say, take it away. This belongs to you, this belongs to you, and all this which came haram, charities, give it away to the poor and needy, which was where you can't find the owners. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now this heart Allah ta'ala will not destroy again. Now as my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Ahmad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum says, that when there is a disaster, when there is an earthquake, when there is a shake up of the earth and the buildings have come crashing onto the ground, and the government declares that area a disaster area, then what happens? The government now provides cement, it provides money, it provides labor to go and reconstruct those buildings. This heart now, which has been smashed for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will now provide comfort for that heart. Allah ta'ala will now provide nourishment for that heart. Allah ta'ala will now fill that heart with the noor of taqwa. And then Allah ta'ala has promised that when you are going to get taqwa, then the promise of Allah ta'ala is, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Can you see the connection? That this person, to adopt this taqwa, he parted with this. He said, whatever happens, even if it means that I lived in a palace and the people will make a big joke and they will laugh at me and they will say that this person's whole empire has come crumbling down, where he went and heard that Maulana in that masjid. What a foolish and a stupid person. He should have rather stayed far away from there. I don't know where he took that kind of advice. Look at his condition now. He was living in a palace. He had a home with 120 bedrooms. And now he has come down with just a small flat which he is renting. But brothers, because he did this for the purpose of achieving taqwa, Allah Ta'ala now promises, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will find a way out for this person in his problems, in his difficulties, in his hardships, and Allah will provide for him from sources totally unknown to him. And this is not just a fairy tale. So many people, when they really pleased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, first things were taken away from them. But then Allah Ta'ala provided so much for them. And with barakat, with happiness, with Allah's pleasure, that they got much, much more than what they had before. And even if that person for some reason or the other does not get it in this world, he will get it in the hereafter. He is not at a loss at all, because he has pleased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I conclude that if a person has got some sort of doubtful earning, I'm not talking about haram. Haram must be taken out of the system. But sometimes it happens that the person has got some kind of doubtful earnings. That is where that masla comes in. That if you've got some sort of doubtful earning mixed up with halal, then there for the Ramadan and for your other purposes, go and borrow money from somebody and purchase your food and other items with that, and then take this money and pay it as your debt. So what you borrowed was halal, and when you paid this to that person, that is also halal. It's jais for that person. I'm not talking about just taking haram, and this is some kind of machine that you put inside all haram and give it to somebody, it's all halal. So brothers, pluck up the courage. Ramadan month is coming. If we really want the noor of the fasting in the month of Ramadan, then there is no other way to achieve it except by halal. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to do everything that is pleasing to our Mawla, and to restrain ourselves from everything that is displeasing to him, so that we become the recipients of his rahmat, mercy, forgiveness in this world and the akhirat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humari gunahon ko maaf farma, humari khatwaon ko maaf farma, humari lazishon se dargzar farma. Ay Allah, humare zahir batin ko durus farma. Ay Allah, humare sagira kabira, amadan, khatwaan, zahirin, batini, har gunah ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, tere fazl o karam se hame rizq halal naseeb farma. اے اللہ تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما, تیرا قرب نصیب فرما, تیری معیت نصیب فرما, تیری معرفت نصیب فرما, تیرا یقین نصیب فرما. اے اللہ تیرے دریائے قرب کی گہرائی کی مچھلی ہمیں بنا دے. اے اللہ نفس و شیطان کے مکر و فریب سے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما, ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو زندگی طویل عطا فرما تاکہ ہم نیک کام کر کے اس دنیا سے رخصت ہو. اے اللہ ہر قسم کے شرور اور فتن سے ہم سب کی حفاظت فرما. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, و نعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذ منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, و انت المستعان و علیک البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة الا باللہ. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمته.